Well, if you would, take your Bible and turn to John chapter 8 is where we'll be today. John chapter 8. We're going to look, like I said earlier, at a story about a lady who was brought before the very King of Kings, the very judge. And we're going to see how she left, even though she came guilty. She came there without no excuses because she was caught in the very act of adultery. She left the Savior not guilty. It was because she met the Savior, Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verses 2 through 11 is what we'll read today. John chapter 8, verses 2 through 11. Our pastor is out of town today. He's in spring break. He and his family have been away this week and having fun. I've seen some pictures on Facebook. He's been out in the country fishing and doing some things. He's just, it looked like he's enjoyed himself. I think he'll be back tomorrow in the office, if I'm not mistaken. So just pray for them as they're away today. But John chapter 8, verses 2 through 11. Now early in the morning, Jesus came again to the temple, and the people came to him. And he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say?" And they said this, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." So here we see the story that we're going to talk about today, this woman. And I'm going to start today with just talking about four things with you and then a conclusion that what we can find out from this story in our very lives today. But the first thing I want us to see in the story today is the sinful that is caught. The sinful caught. We see in this story that there's a woman that obviously had sin in her life. The Bible says here that, I want to first look at her sin, that according to the narrative we read here, she was caught in the very act of adultery. She was guilty before the face of the Lord and before the entire world. And here, being caught probably in the very act right before they drug her down there, she stood before the crowd with no excuse. Her sin had caught up with her. You see, here she is in the front of all these accusers, these Pharisees and scribes, and they're pointing the finger at her and saying, "This woman was caught in the very act of adultery." She had no excuses. Her sin had found her out. I want to remind you that the Bible says, be sure of this, that our sins will find us out. You see, this woman was caught in her sin. She had no excuses to make because she was caught in the very act. And here she stood before these many accusers, but she also stood in front of the very Son of God, the very one that knows all about it. And here she is standing there, accused of her sin. The Bible says in James 2:10, you know, she was caught in the very act of adultery. But James tells us that we're all sinners. And there's no worse sin or bad sin. There's some sins that have more consequences and carry far more things in our lives. That's in that way they are worse. But in the eyes of a holy God, if we sin at all, we're unrighteous in his very eyes. James 2:10 says this, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of it all." Wow. James is very clear there that no matter what our sin is, if we sin, we're guilty of breaking the entire law of God. So we look at this woman here caught in adultery, and sometimes we would want to, if we've not fallen into that sin, we might want to say, she is bad and we're not. No, we're all in the same boat without a Savior. We're all guilty of the entire law of God. In fact, the Bible tells us that we're born with a very sin nature. You remember when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the Garden of Eden, and when they took of the fruit, the forbidden fruit, Jesus said it. Warned them before they even took of it. If you take of that, you will truly die. The Bible says that we're all sinners, and the wages of sin is death. We're as guilty as this woman. Our problem is we maybe not have confronted it like she had to that very day. You see, her sin, the sinful caught her sin. But I want you also to see her shame. In the story, you can imagine the humility that she had, being caught in the very act of sin and being drugged out of her house, out of her bed probably, and out of her house, and brought before this very group of Pharisees and scribes. You can imagine that the shame that she brought with her because of her sin. You see, this woman may have been there in front of them, just totally humiliated because her sin had found her out. You see, sin is a shameful thing. In our world today, it's sad that sin is not very shameful anymore. You see, a lot of times it's even looked at to be held up for others to see and praised instead of being a shameful thing. But sin is shameful. You see, we're all sinners and we fall short of the glory of God. And here she is. She's there with her sin and her shame. No matter how skillfully it is hidden from the eyes of men, Jesus knows all about our sin, and one day it will be revealed before all. Listen to Luke 12, 2 and 3. Luke 12, 2 and 3 says this, "For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear of inner rooms will be proclaimed from the housetops." You see, sin will be revealed. You see, one day we're going to have to give an account for all of our works. Revelation 2, 20, verses 11 through 15 tells us about the great throne. It says this, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works, by the things that were written in the books. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and the death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, each one according to their works." You see, this sinful, that lady that was caught, she bore her sin, she bore her shame, and there it was in the face of these people. And the last thing we want to see here is her sentence. Not only her sin and her shame, but her sentence. These men came with rocks in their hand, ready to kill this woman. You see, they would take the rocks and throw them at her one at a time until she died. Now, that's cruel. Cruel punishment. But this was her sentence, and her accusers were absolutely correct here. According to the law, she deserved to die for her sin. Leviticus 20, verse 10 says this, but listen to the words of this very closely. Leviticus 20, verse 10 says, "The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress, shall surely be put to death." Deuteronomy 22, verse 22 says, "If a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall surely die. For the man that lay with a woman and the woman, so you shall put away evil from Israel." You see, these men, though they seem cruel, they were upholding the very law of Moses at that time, that surely this woman should be put to death. But where was the man? It's very clear there that both should have been brought before them. Who knows, one of the men might have been one of the ones that was crying to set Jesus up in this very situation. And they cared nothing about the woman. They showed no compassion upon her whatsoever. They were trying to trap Jesus, but she was just one that they were using to trap Jesus here. You see, the sinful, though, was caught. We see that in her sin, her shame, and her sentence. Not only do I want you to see the sinful caught, but I want you to see the scolding crowd. The scolding crowd. Verses 3 through 9, we see that this crowd cared nothing, like I said, about this woman. They were trying to trap the very King of Kings in a dilemma that would put him in trouble with either Rome or themselves. You see, they were trying to place Jesus in a place where they could accuse him of wrongdoing. And this woman, they just brought before him to set up this scenario to accuse Jesus. You see, the scolding crowd had a plan. Yes, they were there accusing this woman, but their plan had to do with pinning something on Jesus. If Jesus simply let the woman go, he would be seen as not having strong enough on sin. And how could he be who he said he was? If he told them to throw the stones at the woman, he would be brought before Rome and brought up on charges for being the judge of this woman. You see, they were putting him in this awkward position. They had already called him friend of sinners and publicans. Earlier, he had ate with many tax collectors, and they didn't like that at all. They wanted him to be done away with and executed. And later, they were going to have their wish. But here, they're trying to catch him. You see, they were caught up in their legalism, and they wanted to hurt the very Son of God here. But they had a problem. They had a plan. But they had a problem. You see, they weren't up against just anyone, if it were that. They were trying to outsmart the very creator of the world. It wasn't going to happen. Their problem, their plan might have succeeded with an ordinary man, but this was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he simply refused to play their game. He simply refused to play their game, and he didn't even answer their question at first. He just kind of ignored them. You notice that? It said that he just dropped to the ground, stooped down on the ground, and started writhing as if he didn't hear them. You see, Jesus wasn't playing their game. They were ignored by Jesus. He just stooped down, started writhing on the ground. You may ask, I wonder what he wrote. Well, we all wonder that. The Bible doesn't tell us what Jesus wrote. Now, we could speculate. He could have wrote the Ten Commandments, the very laws of Moses down there. And he could have wrote them down there just to show all these people that were trying to judge this woman for her sin, that they were indeed also sinners. That they had broken the very law of Moses that they were trying to uphold here. We don't know, that speculation. Perhaps he wrote even more personal things like their name and maybe a sin that they committed often. Can you imagine that? We don't know. Maybe he just wrote scriptures on the ground. They knew the scriptures, and so did, of course, the Son of God. He wrote them on the ground and convicted their hearts. We don't know what happened here. We don't know what he wrote, but it surely got their attention. We see that these men that held the rock in their hand for the lady and in their heart wanted to trap there at the very Son of God, began to be convicted in their hearts. Not only were they ignored, they were exposed. You see, they brought this woman and exposed her sin before all the crowd. Somehow, Jesus exposed their sin in their very hearts. In verses 7 through 9, Jesus says this, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her." You hear that? Here, they are holding their hand, and Jesus says, "Let the one of you that is without sin cast the first stone. The Bible says that for some reason, and he knelt down and started writing more in the sand. And it says that one by one, these self-righteous men began to drop their rock and walk away. Somehow, Jesus exposed the very sin in their hearts to them. So, what he was writing, we don't know. But from the oldest to the youngest, the Bible says, one by one, they dropped the very stone and walked away. You see, their plan to execute the woman, their plan to trap Jesus, wasn't working. Jesus turned it into them and saw, made them look inside their very own hearts and see the sin that was in their hearts. And one by one, they dropped the rocks and walked away. We give them a little credit, at least. When they saw themselves as they really were, they walked away. Unfortunately, they walked away from the very one that could do something about their sin. The very Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, they dropped their rocks, knowing that they had sinned, and they walked away. They were ignored and they were exposed. We see the sinful cross. We see the scolding crowd. For the third thing, we see the sympathetic cross. This is where the story is really exciting. The sympathetic cross. Did you know that God knew her? Jesus knew her. Did you know that Jesus loved her? Loved her in her sin. Even though she was a sinner, Jesus loved her. We see that in verses 9 through 10. We see that Jesus stands back up and he faces the woman. Face to face with Jesus. A sinful woman, the very Savior of the world, standing face to face. Only Jesus could have cleared the temple after the fashion when he did in the last rock hit the temple floor. And Jesus stood up and faced the sinful woman. As he stood up before her, he was the only one that could pick up a rock and throw it. Do you ever think about that? Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. All the other guys started thinking about the sin in their own hearts, dropped the rock, and hit it off. But here is Jesus Christ, the very spotless Lamb of God. Very well he could have picked up a rock and threw it at her. He was the only one in the crowd that day that met those high the things there. He was without sin. But he chose not to pick up a rock and throw it at the woman. He loved this woman. Surely Jesus Christ was the friend of sinners, praise the Lord. He came to seek and to save those which were lost. And this woman standing before him was a sinner, just like we all are sinners, and she needed a Savior. And here was the very Savior of the world, not condemning her and throwing a rock at her, but loving her and looking at her. He looked straight at her. The very judge of this world looked at her and said, "Is there no one else here to condemn you?" And she says, "No one, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I." Do you see the love there? The love that Jesus showed. Well, I'm here to tell you today that Jesus also knows you. Do you realize that? He knows where we fail. He knows where we sin. He knows where we fail him. But I'm here to tell you he loves you. You know, a lot of times we think of Jesus as being one who is always up there waiting for us to mess up so he can zap us somehow. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ loves us so much that he found a way to offer us salvation and forgiveness from us. He loved us so much that it cost him everything to provide this, but he loved us so much he gave his very life so we could be saved from our sins. God demonstrated his love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But he faced her. She didn't make any excuses. Standing before holy, righteous Savior of the world. There was no excuses that could be made. You know, a lot of times we try to make excuses. We try to excuse the sins that we have. Oswald Chambers, if you've never read his Utmost for a Tithe, I can't go through it in a year, but it takes me. I've been through it many times. I still can't read one a day very easily because it's so thought-provoking. But Oswald Chambers says this: the penalty of sin is that you gradually get used to it until you come to the place where you no longer realize. You see, a lot of times sin is just that. We get numb to our sin, and before you know it, sin we've excused it away somehow or whatever. We've made excuses for ourselves. Yeah, the Bible might say that, but it's not really pertaining to me. Whatever. The other thing is, the more we sin, the easier it is to fall into that same sin again. You see, that's why it's so easy for us to fall into a lifestyle of sin. But I'm here to tell you, God loves you. Here, he faced the woman and all of her sin. Proverbs 28:13 says this: he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. He faced her, and he showed his love toward her. And then secondly, he forgave her. He forgave her. The only one qualified, like we said, to throw a stone at this woman refused to. Jesus dealt with her on the basis of compassion. The sympathetic, compassionate Savior forgave her of our sin. You see, Jesus looked at the woman and didn't just see her as a sinner. He saw her as someone who had worth. She was worth salvaging, worth saving. And when she came to Jesus, she received two great blessings here we see that forever changed her life from that day on. And I'm here to tell you that these two blessings are the gift of God to all who receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. This is the 1 Peter 2:24 and 25. 1 Peter 2:24 and 25 wraps up salvation so well. Who himself bore our sin as in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, but by whose stripes we are healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You see, this one Jesus is going to go later and die on the cross to save mankind. By his stripes, we are healed. She received two great blessings that are available to you and to me even today. The first thing is a new Lord. In the stunning conclusion of this great verses of Bible, the story, we see that she got a new Lord. By her simple confession of Christ as Lord, salvation became hers. And that is all there is to being saved. Romans 10:9 says this, that if you shall confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, and shall receive in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, when she was brought before the very Savior of the world, she was there with just her and her sin, and Jesus forgave her. He became her new Lord. That's what happens when we're saved. You know, we totally turn our back on our sin. Does that mean we're perfect from then on? No, unfortunately. Sometimes we still fall into sin, but we're a new creation in Christ, the Bible says. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. You say that's what being a Christian is. We learn to live in the salvation that we have. You see, Jesus became her Lord. That word Lord we don't use very much today, but it could be called as her boss. You see, she listened and obeyed him. She wanted to please Jesus. She wanted to obey Jesus because he was her Lord. Not only her Savior, but her Lord. She received a new Lord. She also received a new life. Who knows what brought this woman to the place of adultery? We can't really speculate at all. But from that point on, she had a new life. A new life in Christ. You see, the very act of baptism we see reminds us of that very fact that we die to our trespasses and sins and we're raised to walk in newness of life. You see, when Jesus Christ cleanses us and washes us from our sin, he wants us to live differently. In this woman's life, he tells her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." You see, she had a new life in Christ here. She could go and sin no more through the very power of Christ that saved her from her sin. She's able to walk in a new life in Christ. You say, "But Jeff, what happens when as Christians we sin?" Well, we confess it. We've got to remember that Christ has already forgave us from our sin. But sin, when we sin as Christians, it puts a barrier between us and God in some way that we're not walking in total fellowship with God until we confess that sin. You see, the Bible says in 1 John, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, here this lady is covered. Her sins are covered or forgiven. But she's to walk in newness of life. Listen to Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 9. Ephesians 2, what a great scripture to close the day and to go into this very, very great week, the Passion of Christ. Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." What great news it is that we can have a new Lord and a new life in Christ. To close today, I want to just tell you four things that we see here that we have in common with the sinful woman that was brought before Jesus. Four things we all have in common with this sinful woman. First, we are all guilty of sin. We are all guilty of sin. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." Romans 3, verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." You see, we are all guilty of sin. That very day, the condemners found that out in their very hearts. They dropped a rock and walked away, but they walked away from the very Son of God that day. We're all guilty of sin. We all deserve death and hell. The Bible is plain in this. In Psalms 6:23, it says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, we all deserve death and hell, but God, in his great gracious mercy, gave us a way for eternal life. But we all deserve death and hell. The third thing is we all need a sympathetic Savior. Some people try to be good enough. So one day when they stand before Almighty God, he will weigh out their goods and their bad and say, "Okay, well, your goods outweigh your bad." But that's not how it is. You see, without Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have no hope. We're spiritually bankrupt. We need a Savior. We need this sympathetic Savior named Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that it not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." You see, we all need a sympathetic Savior, and that sympathetic Savior's name is Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we must all turn to Jesus for forgiveness. Listen to Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says this: if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We already mentioned 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Both of those verses start to say if. You see, we have to act. We have to respond to God's gracious gift to accept him as our Lord and Savior. It's nothing in good works. It's a simple act of faith to accept his grace of salvation. Maybe, like this woman, your life has been wrecked and ruined by sin. Maybe you have become face to face with Christ the Savior, and you see yourself undone. It's as simple. You know, when we get in Christ's presence, it's unbelievable. We see ourselves that way. In his righteous glory, we see ourselves as undone and unworthy. But we must remember that in that very state, we're right where we need to be to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And to receive from him forgiveness of sin. The song we sung earlier, the choir, I stand accused. There's a list a mile long of all the things that I've done. But we start the song that way. The song ends. Jesus saying, I know you, I love you, I gave my life to save you. And in the very end, Jesus proclaims, God proclaims you not. You see, just like this woman, we're all going to stand before Christ. And the only way we can give account of our sins is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And today, if you're here, that's the very gospel of Christ. That without Christ in our life, we can do it. So praise God with them. A holy, righteous, and true God can look at us and proclaim us not guilty. What a message that is. And you know something? Nobody can go against that. When God proclaims you're not guilty, who's going to condemn you? The Bible says that wrong. Who's going to condemn you when the very holy God pronounces you not guilty? The very Son of God, Jesus, is at his right hand and interceding for you the whole time. You see, you're saved from your sin. And you're pronounced not guilty. And dear child of God, that means that your sin, past, present, and future has been dealt with in Christ. But if you are in sin as a Christian, I plead with you, make fellowship back with God and ask him to forgive you of all your sin and cleanse you from that unrighteousness. Not because you're any more saved, but because then you can live a life. New life in Christ that Christ has for you. Will you stand? Let us pray, and then we're going to sing the great song, Just As I Am. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. And Lord, what a wonderful story in the Bible that teaches us that you are the Savior of the world, the sympathetic Christ. Lord, the compassionate Christ. We see your love here in a great way. Lord, we can all relate to this woman because we're all sinners. Lord, I pray that we can relate to this woman and find him a Lord and Savior and a new life in Christ. Lord, there's someone here that's still carrying the load of their sin and the guilt of their sin around every day. Lord, today, I pray that they would find you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, we thank you and praise you as Christians that you forgave us of our sin. Lord, teach us to live each day in the new life that you have for us. Lord, we pray this in your precious name.